Shine on me, my Lord.
Shine on me, Lord. Shine on me. Lift the light from the lighthouse. Shine on me.
Sing 192. It's an if there is a river that flows from deep within.
There is a river.
just pray and ask the Lord to be with us this afternoon. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You're ever present, Lord. We know that you're here. We're very pleased that you are, because without you, Lord, we meet in vain. We're so very grateful for what we hear from this pulpit, Lord, and we say thank you that we can apply it to our heart. You lift us up. You help us, Lord, to keep on going. And we know, Lord, that you are our Lord and God, and above every name, you made this world and everything in it. You made the weather, you made the sea, you made the fish, you made the birds, all horticulture, the food we ate. Lord, these wonderful, wonderful things. Without it, we'd know immediately if you had dried them out. So we're very grateful, Lord. Just bless us as we meet this afternoon. Bless the people that listen in at their time of listening. May they be blessed as well, because they apply their heart to what they're hearing. Just be with us, Lord, as we continue to sing in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing "My Beloved Is Mine, and I Am His." Shall we stand as we sing? My beloved is mine, and I am his, and his banner over me is love. My beloved is mine, I am his, and his banner over me is love. My beloved is mine, and I am his, and his banner over me is love. Have another song here, which is 167. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God, and if anyone has a testimony they'd like to share, we'll have it then.
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood, joined with Jesus as we travel this long. I'm a part of the family, the family.
Any testimonies, Pauline?
I'd just like to thank the Lord for healing me. I thank Him for the trials and the testings. They just show us that He's always there. It's like the sun is always shining, even when it's a cloudy day. God's always with us. Doesn't matter what the trial, what the test, whether we're feeling good, whether we're feeling bad. I thank Him that He's been with me this week and that He's been my healer, and He knows it all. I give Him all praise and glory.
Amen. That's good. Sister Mill. Couldn't find her, brother.
I really want to thank the Lord also. A few weeks back, I mentioned I'd sent a parcel to Julie, and she hadn't received it, and it was about 6 weeks or something. And time went on and time went on, and I, excuse me, the New Zealand Post had paid me out. But anyway, after over 2 months, Julie got that parcel, and I really do thank the Lord for it. So I had to go to the post office and give them back their money. But I thank God. I mean, that's the second parcel I've had that's taken a long time to get there, and I've got a mail now that hasn't reached the aisle. I've posted on the, it was my daughter-in-law's, my granddaughter's birthday gift, and it hasn't arrived either, and I posted that on the 8th of May and it's still not there. So her birthday was the 27th of May, but I believe it'll turn up. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Sister Lita.
I thank you, Lord, for this moment. Last night, they have feel sore on my face. I cannot see last night. I never wake up my husband to tell them. But I put my hand in my face. Lord, I know the enemy can come and kill myself. Please put your hand inside my eyes. I want to see, and very sore my eyes last night, maybe 3 o'clock, I cannot sleep. And I wake up, and I ask, Lord, please, Lord, help me. I know the enemies, they want to come and kill myself. I need you to come and take out the pains and make my right-hand eyes to see. After that, I feel my heart, my eyes, not pain. And when I wake up in the morning, my eyes, I see. And I thank God. I don't want the enemies come to my life. I want you, Jesus, in my life. Amen.
Amen. That's good testimony, my sister. The thing is, we just learn to understand and believe what we've prayed. So that's good. While you're thinking about one, I was just so pleased that the Lord actually, he listens to your prayers. I didn't doubt that for a moment. But I was praying yesterday morning for Denver Chetty, the one I have contact with from time to time, works for Toyota. And I said to Barbara, oh, we're walking into town this morning. As we go past Toyota, I'm just going to go and speak to Denver, because he normally works on a Saturday and sometimes a Sunday as well. And I thought, yep, I'll just do that. So we were walking along, Barbara and I, past the Dive and Sports there on the footpath on our way to down by Pack and Save somewhere. And a voice come up behind me on the footpath and said, ah, the Searles. Lord bless you, hand on my shoulder, and turn around, and it was Denver. And I thought you were going to be working. And he said, well, I'm not working today, but I happen to be in town, and this is the crux of the matter, about now, because somebody wants to see one of our vehicles that he had rung me. And I thought, well, thank you, Lord, because I'd prayed for him that morning that I was wanting to speak to Denver. Denver knows that I speak to about the Lord, right? So I said, well, look, I was coming in to see you, as a matter of fact. And so I told him, and he said that, well, I don't want to say I'll be here tomorrow, which is today, and he didn't arrive. He said, because he doesn't say he doesn't want to lie, but he doesn't want to make a promise that he can't keep. And it's only one of these dodges. Well, Howard was preaching about it today, you know, this in the Bible, that I've got a piece of ground, I've got to go and see it. I've married a wife and I need to, you know, every excuse. Well, Denver has one too, and that is he doesn't want to lie, but he knows. I said, it's just come into church when you're ready. You know about it. He said, yes, I do. I said, well, it's up to you. Got to do something about it. But the point being is that I have every intention, and I was praying for them, which I do from time to time, and I expected to go in there, and there he was, and he arrested me because he walked up behind me. He could have just let me walk on, but no, he didn't. But he didn't arrive either. But that's between him and the Lord. Any other testimonies? Not yet. Save them up for next week. Thanks, Brother Paul. Well, let's sing one more. Number 156, His Name Is Higher. Shall we stand as we sing, and then Brother Howard will come. Be seated. Thank you, Howard.
Praise praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Don't have a button on. You've got to have the button on, Brother Taz. I wonder if we could stand for the reading of God's Word this afternoon from the book of Luke, chapter 4, verse 18. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. We could just stand for the reading of God's Word. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. Also, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And Jesus said, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and on all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And one other reading I'd like to read from is 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is true, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. May God bless the reading of his word, and we'll just commit this word to the Lord. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the reading of thy word. We pray that it'll speak to hearts here and afar. Lord, just help us to receive by the Spirit that which the Holy Spirit would have us to know. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For your glory, Lord, we give it to you. Amen. You may be seated. When I began to study this subject, I've called it the Blessed Precious Anointing. The Blessed Precious Anointing. And when I began to study this glorious subject, I realized just how vast and important it is to us. And sometimes we overlook the glorious and essential unction of the Holy Ghost and how needful it is. How dreadful and desolate it is without its presence in our life. It's like a nightmare. For if you've ever been in the Spirit of God, you never want to be without it. And how powerful it is to change lives and to heal the sick and power to rapture us. It's everything. It's nothing to do with the church or the program or who preaches. You need the anointing in your life. Because when Jesus comes, you won't be in church probably. You may be. We won't be doing things that we thought we'd be doing. He'll come when he's ready and we've got to be ready to go. Is that right, brother? We've got to be ready to go. So may God grant that to us. And it really does do something for us, and how destitute a church is without the anointing flowing through it. It cannot be seen with the eye, but greatly felt by the Spirit. It's indescribable, indispensable blessing. And God gave it to the church in the beginning, and it's going to be in the church in the end. Who believes that?
Amen.
Who believes that?
Amen.
Shall we try it again? Of course we believe it. Without the Holy Ghost, we're going nowhere. It's not the program. It's not the preacher. It's not the subjects. And all those things are great. It's whether God is here. And so we're speaking about the anointing. It's God's presence. It's a presence. It cannot be described. But it's powerful. Praise the name of the Lord. And to be privileged to have it present with us and in us is a wonderful thing. Human tongue or English language can describe the wonderful experience of being in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And if you haven't got it, you need it. And if you want it, you seek it. And if you seek it, you'll find it. That's the truth. If you really, who wants it?
Amen.
I want it, brother and sister. I've got to seek for it. I've got to go and get my own filling. I can't be distracted, like we said this morning, about with this and that and caught up with this. We've got no time for God, no time to pray. We're just running around like a bee in a preserving jar. Brother and sister, we need to wait on God. That's what we need to do. Wait on the Lord. So may God grant that to us. By it we live. Without it we're dead and helplessly uninspired. With the absence of the unction, of the anointing, of the Holy Ghost, we as humans are powerless as Samson was. Now this is an amazing thing. This is a little bit scary actually. How easy it is to lose it and without noticing its departure. We cannot notice the departure of the presence of God sometimes in our life. You know, Samson, he played around with Delilah until one day something happened. In Judges 16:20, we read this. Delilah said, "The Philistines be upon me, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times before. I'll go out and preach as always I used to. I'm going to go out and testify as always I used to. I'm going to sing for God as I used to," whatever way you want to put it. "And he shook himself and he wist not that the Lord was departed from him." Now, brother and sister, that wist means knew not. He knew not that the Lord was departed from him. I'll just read you what the Amplified says on that. She said, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." And he woke out of his sleep and said, "I'll go out as I have time after time and shake myself free." For Samson did not know that the Lord had departed from him. It must have been a terrible shock for Samson. He was just a man, powerless, and so are you. We need that anointing. Who believes we need it? We need it, Tim. We've got to get that anointing on us. That's what it does. How we need to greatly respect and revere this anointing. Never take this sacred unction lightly. Treasure it. Value it above everything in your life. No wonder David said in Psalm 51, verse 10, we read this. This is what he said. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." Brother and sister, if you don't have the Holy Spirit that's taken from you, you're destitute. We need it, brother. We need it, sisters. We're all going to seek for it with all our hearts because time's running out. We're going to need power to survive. Because the devil, the world's coming against us. They want to persecute you. They want to crucify you one day. We need power. And the only power we can get is from the Holy Spirit. Praise the name of the Lord. So David was unaware of the horror for God's Spirit to depart. Terrible thing. Pray that God would graciously come down once more here. Who wants the God's Spirit to come down here? You know, brothers and sisters, it's not the program, as I say, it's not the songs we sing, it's not the sermons we preach, it's where the God is here. And he said he would be here. Two or three gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. Hallelujah. Isn't that great? Let's say praise the Lord. To have him in the midst changes everything. Heals the sick, fills with the Holy Spirit. Whatever need you have can be met when he's here.
Amen.
So may God grant it to us. Praise the name of the Lord. Pray that God would graciously come down once more as he did with Samson. You know, Samson said, "Once more, Lord." Where was Samson? Down on the treadmill. Eyes plucked out, couldn't see. He's pushing the wheel. grinding the corn. No power. He lost the Holy Spirit. What a desperate situation is. And he had plenty of time to think about it. But here he was. Then they're going to make fun of him. They took him out. The little boy led him out into the arena. Well, thousands of people, all the Philistines watching. They're going to make sport of him, make fun of him. And as he's going out, he felt something on his shoulder. He felt his curls had grown out, his hair had grown out, which was his vow that he had taken. Nazarene vow he had taken. No razor was to come to his hair, but now they'd grown out. He said, well, maybe there's hope. Maybe there's hope for you and I. And then he cried out, he said, Lord, they put him between the pillars. He got his arms around the pillars. Now, he couldn't push anything. He couldn't lift a stone. He was that tired and worn out. But he said, Lord, once more. Just once more, Lord. Once more let thy anointing come down. Isn't that wonderful? When the anointing comes down. And God heard his prayer. What happened, Paul? He pushed the building down. And he destroyed more people, more Philistines then than in his whole life. So we would do some praying once more, Lord. Let's start praying once more, Lord, that you may give us an opportunity to feel your presence come down and feel the anointing come back upon us. I want that. Who wants that? You want it, Sister Shirley? You know what it is. You've been there. I've been there. Brother Tim, you've been there. We all want it. And cry once more, Lord. So, Samson failed to identify the intrusion into his life. Now, we're saying this morning about, Brother Lee mentioned, distractions and excuses and things that come into your life. We failed to detect the intrusions. You used to have a lot of time to wait and pray. Oh, I don't seem to have any time anymore. What's happened? Something else has filled it. The intrusions that eventually stole his anointing. He had a woman in his life that shouldn't have been there. But you know what? This is an amazing thing. The sovereignty of God. Samson's parents weren't very happy with him going with Delilah because she was not an Israelite. She was a Philistine. And the parents opposed and said, Samson, this is not right. We don't want you to do this. But the Bible says, not knowing that this arrangement with Delilah was of God. Isn't that amazing? God allowed it that he could bring judgment against the Philistines. That is something that is God can do what he likes. And so we see what happened. He'd lost it because he had failed to recognize the intrusions into his life, things coming into his life that are taking over his life. It could be all sorts of things. It could be music. Yep, I love music. I love it. But you've got to watch it doesn't take you over. Yeah, a lot of people have a lot of interests. And they're good. But don't let it take all your time up. I know what I'm talking about, brother and sister. We need to give time for God. And how we need to be very careful. It can happen while we are so caught up with living, with that which dominates our life, our time, and our mind. Luke 21, verse 34 says, take heed to yourselves. That means listen and take note. That's what heed means. Listen and take notice. Lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life. It's amazing how much this cares of life comes in. And so the day come upon you unawares. Samson knew not that the Lord had departed. It can come upon you and know not that you're drifting from God. Never become casual and say, oh, God will always bless me. He will if you obey him, he will. But he will not be identified with our stubborn and rebellious natures, our ways. I want to do it this way, no matter what. We've all had done it. This is the hour to receive the sacred anointing. Paul the Apostle was forthright when he met the church at Ephesus. And his first and foremost question was, in Acts 19 verse 2, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? When did you receive the Holy Spirit? I want you to answer this question. When did you receive it? Since you believed. You believed, but did you receive the Holy Spirit after that? And they were very perplexed. So Paul continued. And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Jesus Christ. And what was their next move? Verse 5 says, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now watch the results. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. When did you last speak with tongues? Now, brother and sister, I'm just asking you these questions. When did you last speak with tongues? When did you last prophesy? This is the church. Who believes we're part of the early church? We are part of the same church. We should have the same manifestations, the same spirit moving in the same way in my life and in your life. We must expect it, brothers. We must expect it. And each one of us must be really, really serious about being filled. Their faith was such that they acted upon the word of God. If we have never really, truly repented of our sins, then we need to. It's not just saying, oh, forgive me, Lord. True repentance. If we've never been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, then we need to. And the promise is, let's read it, Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. Won't that be wonderful? If you've never received it, be under expectation. You've truly repented, only you know that. You've been baptized in his name, and you're expecting God to honor his word with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, Peter said, and to all that are far off, even as the many as our Lord God shall call, right down to 2018. This experience is all through the early church. If we have been restored back to the original word, who believes we are? Coming back to the original word, not what we think, not what someone else thinks, just what God says. Then we shall receive the original experience. Get back to the original word, you get the original experience. And that true anointing. So why do we need the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Without it, we are ineffectual in our witnessing. Ineffectual. People know whether you mean it. They know whether you know what you're talking about. We lack that real overcoming power. Verse says in Isaiah 59:19 says this, that when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall raise up a standard against him. What does it? Not the church, not your sermons, not our singing. The Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against the enemy. And this is so needful, especially in ministers while ministering, and that includes me. One man of God put it like this about some preachers. The tragedy is that so many are technically correct and spiritually powerless. We can have a sermon that's all perfectly laid out, but we need the power. Who believes we need the power? Hallelujah, we need the power. Brother, sister, somebody comes up here with a toothache or whatever it may need, we need to lay hands on and they shall recover. Is that right, Sister Pauline? She came into the office, asked for prayer just a while ago. I said, God said, if you ask believing, you shall receive that which you ask for. It's just ours. Hallelujah. You believe that, Brother Tess? Wonderful, isn't it? My, this is so needful. So needful. The anointing adds power to your words. It really does. They can be very simple words, but the unction of the Holy Ghost can really activate it. Places power in your testimony, drives it straight through to the heart of a person. Charles Finney's testimony in his own words. Who knows Charles Finney? This is what he said. To the honor of God alone, I will say a little of my own experience in this matter. I was powerfully converted on the morning of the 10th of October. I just want to say this. When God comes to you, it's a definite experience. It's not like, oh, a little funny feeling. It's more than that. When you meet God, you know you've met him. And he said on the 10th of October, there's something that's real. Something's wonderful, life-changing. It cannot be forgotten. In the evening of the same day, he says, and on the morning of the following day, I received overwhelming baptisms of the Holy Spirit. Now, I can say to you, in my own experience, exactly what happened to me. I had subsequent baptisms, one after the other, when I first received the Holy Spirit. It was just really a very wonderful and a very gracious experience that God allowed me to have. And went through me, he says, as it seemed to me, body and soul. I immediately found myself endued with such power from on high that a few words that dropped here and there to individuals were the means of their immediate conversion. Isn't that amazing? Not a whole screed of stuff. Just said, Jesus Christ died for you. If you accept him, you'll be saved. Change people's lives. It comes out under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It changed lives. That's what he's saying. My words seemed to fasten like barbed arrows in the souls of men. They cut like a sword. They broke the heart like a hammer. Multitudes can attest to this. Oftentimes a word dropped without my remembering it would fasten conviction and often result in almost immediate conversion. Who wants to have that? You've got to have it. You've got to have the power. You can have all the notes we want. Read the notes, you know, read the notes. But brothers and sisters, we need power behind our words. And only God can do that. It's not how much we say or whether God anoints it. Now, God anointed a crowing rooster one day. Did you know that? Who knows where the crowing rooster came from? God anointed that rooster with a crowed out. A man fell down in bitter repentance. And who was that? Peter. But God anointed that rooster. I tell you what, we had a few roosters in Greece. Every morning, about 4 o'clock. But we had a rooster that came out, and he was out of tune. I said, June, he's all out of key. Something wrong with that bird. He crowed with the wrong crow. I couldn't believe it. I thought I was dreaming it. It was a funny crow. But when God gets a hold of a rooster and it's anointed, man fell down in repentance. That crowing was not a deep sermon, but God anointed it. You do not have to have a lot to say. It's not how much you can say, it's whether God anoints, the simplest thing. When God anointed people can see you really mean it. go straight to the heart, as Brother Charles Finney said. We speak from our heads, it goes to people's heads, just hits head level. We speak from our heart, anointed by God, it goes straight to the heart. Another definite experience by a brother by the name of A.W. Tozer. Great men of God been used through the centuries. Really wonderful. This one's quite recent. Well, the last 100 years. I was 19 years old, earnestly in prayer, kneeling in the front room of my mother-in-law's home. When I was baptized with the mighty infusion of the Holy Ghost, I had been eager for God, God's will, and I had been up against almost all of my groups and isms with their formulas and theories and teachings. Any tiny work that God had ever done through me and through my ministry for him dates back to the hour when I was filled with the Spirit. You want to be effective, brother, sister? You're going to need the Holy Ghost. And that's why I plead for the spiritual life of the body of Christ and the eternal ministries of the eternal Spirit through God's children, his instruments. And brother and sister, we have to be anointed. Sometimes I've had the privilege of speaking in meetings. I thought to myself, boy, that wasn't very good. And God mightily moved. You know why? It was God, not me. Sometimes I said, oh, that was quite a good message. Nothing happened. It's not what we say, it's whether God anoints it to the hearts of people. We've got to mean business. So let me start with a scripture in Jeremiah 29:12. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 12. Then shall ye call upon me, the Lord says, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with your heart. All? Who said all? That's what it says. Not with your heart, with all your heart. That's when you get through to God. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Because I'm not wicked. But if you disobey what God's trying to tell you, you are wicked. We are wicked. Wiser faces. Better to get this thing straight in our hearts. But if we humble ourselves and pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways, then God says, I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. Excuse me, but I've got another quote. I found these and I was blessed by them. This is from Brother Leonard Ravenhill. Some of you may have heard of these brothers. When we get humble enough, and low enough, and desperate enough, and hungry enough, and concerned enough, and passionate enough, and broken enough, and clean enough, and prayerful enough, then God will send us revival that equals and surpasses the awakening this country experienced in the days of Charles Finney. Shall I read that again? Are you all listening? When we get humble enough, low enough, desperate enough, hungry enough, concerned enough, passionate enough, and broken enough, and clean enough, and prayerful enough, then God will send us a revival that equals and surpasses the awakening of this country experienced in the days of Charles Finney. So, brother and sister, there's no shortcuts. It's not just going to happen. You've got to get down on your knees. I've got to get down on my knees. The only thing we have against us is time is running out. I wonder if we'll see this year out, seriously. I wonder if we'll see this year out. We've absolutely entered in the last days, as the scripture exhorts us, in Romans 13:11. And knowing the time, do you know what the time is? Not your watch time. The time in God's calendar. Knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of our sleep. People are still asleep, they cannot wake up. They're like in a dream, they can't wake up. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Seek the Lord while he may be found. The time when you can find him, there's a time when you cannot. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. May God help us all to receive that blessed anointing. With signs following, I'll never be happy until I see the moving of the Holy Spirit here. Now, we have seen it. We've seen people touched. We've seen people healed. But brothers and sisters, I have had the privilege of being in meetings where I had to sit down because God came down. There's no need for me to be there. He was present. Congregations, 600 people. God in Germany, just power of God moved down on the people wonderfully. The altars were full. People cried out to God for hours. Who wants that here? Nothing to do with me. It's all to do with you and I together. Lord, we need it. We're believing for it. May God help us all. Shall we just stand for prayer? Lord, it's true. The hour is far spent. Time is running out, Lord. We do not have time on our side. We're in the end time, Lord. And you said, when I return, would I find faith upon the earth? We see such a lack of faith. Lord, we have our churches, we have our programs and all those things, all very nice. But Lord, what we need is the Holy Spirit to be moving in our midst. Starting in me, Lord, may it move in me. Oh God, I ask it in the name of Jesus, you'd move by your Spirit. Only you can do this. Lord, we cannot do it of ourselves. We can desire it, but it takes the grace and mercy of God to come and do it for us. Lord, I just pray you'll bless every brother and sister here. And those who are not here this afternoon, and those that will be listening, wherever they are, that you'd move in them. It's too, Lord. For we need the Spirit of the living God. We need that precious, blessed anointing. We need it, Lord. It's not something to be nice to have. We need it. I pray, God, that you'd allow us to have it and send it amongst us. So it'll be power of God to be so much in this meeting, Lord, that as the Bible says, the ministers could not minister for the presence of the Lord. I pray, Lord, you'll grant that to us in the name of Jesus. May you move upon every heart now, Lord, we ask. In Jesus' name, may we take this word in our hearts this afternoon, Lord. May we not just, oh, yeah, I know that, I believe all that. That's not good enough. We've got to be more sincere, more reverent towards the things of God. Help us, I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Have thy way, Lord. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh, afresh. You might have felt the Spirit, but you need a freshening. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me.
sounds beautiful, you singing that. Really wonderful. Brother Tim, would you like to come, brother, and as we sing this again? Spirit of the living God, all afresh on me.
Precious Jesus, Lord, we just come humbly before you, Lord, and ask that by your precious Spirit, Lord, you do. Lord, anoint us, Lord, to walk through our lives, Lord, day to day, Lord. And we just trust in you, Lord. We place all our trust in you, Lord, that you will guide our footsteps, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that you would come strong in our hearts, Lord, to just set more time aside for you, Lord, in prayer, Lord, as we see the days closing, Lord, as the world plunges itself, Lord, and further into turmoil, Lord. We just look up, Lord, for our redemption is nigh, Lord. And Lord, we just look to you and trust in you, Lord, and with all our hearts, Lord. And Lord, press in, Lord, as it grows darker, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, and I just pray a blessing upon each one this afternoon, Lord, that you'll go with us on our way, Lord. And we just thank you for this time in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.